What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to explore and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome students from Sale High School. Joining me here at the table is Connor Mock. Connor is a junior, and she's into reading and writing and baking.
Hello.
Glad to have you. Reed Worrell. Reed is a junior. Reading, drawing, and writing are his things.
It's good to be back at 411 Teen.
And I'm always glad to have you and have your comments. I look forward to talking with you. Ayanna Brantley, 11th grade, Sale student, reading, singing, watching TV.
Hi, glad to be here.
Savannah Burris, it's always nice to have her back. She's a junior and she's into knitting and cooking and clay arts.
Hi.
And Michael Hayes. Michael is in the 10th grade. He's into stand-up speaking, so we're going to get some of that today.
One and only.
Welcome so much to 411 Teen. I'm always glad to have you. I always look forward to having sales students. I love your perspectives. You always add a different twist. Violence is deeply rooted in U.S. culture. It's as American as apple pie. It permeates our very existence. You know, we attack the problem, eviscerate the opposing team, go ballistic, and then we kill you softly. Violence is injury to oneself or another. It can be deliberate or accidental. Firearms play a large role in violence in the U.S. due to the ease of accessibility and their availability. A recent study cited in the Washington Post reported that mass shootings have occurred at an average rate of about one per month since 2009. Why do you think violence is so prevalent in the U.S.?
I don't even know how to answer that question. I don't even know why there's so. Why it's so
part
prevalent
of it is
here?
People don't like to talk out their problems.
Yeah,
but I mean.
Go ahead.
A lot of people will say the media or video games and TV and stuff like that. I mean, maybe that's a key issue, but I don't know if that's like the source of all violence.
I mean, I don't want to punch people after I play a fighting game. I mean,
but you're just nice person. Like, I mean, I think part of it definitely is the media with all the video games.
I mean, we are desensitized to it
music,
a lot. Like American
movies.
Like American Horror Story and how freaky that is. We get desensitized to it with shows like that.
And also, America was pretty much founded on inviolence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
People came to this country finding it new, and what's the first thing they do is
slaughter the natives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
so,
right.
Yeah,
that's
where do you sit on it?
Well, actually, I have my own thing on it.
Okay.
Like from a shout out to PJ for telling us this today and his class. You know, I think he told us about this just today that really I think it just has to do with the culture and what people like do with it. Like whenever they're like looking at their phones and watching those videos and like of people doing things and that they're disconnected from it.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they just think, well, and then, you know, they keep watching this, and then it starts messing with their brain,
mm-hmm.
and it just changes them. And, you know, they get really numb to it, and it just, when they start seeing this stuff, or maybe they're just really used to this stuff, like it happens a lot to them.
And I think you have touched on all the different issues, because you talk about being used to it, and that's just developing that desensitization that doesn't mean anything anymore. I think that, you know, the fact that we see it all, so I agree with all of you, and I think, you said this at the very beginning, there's not any one reason. It's a combination of things,
mm-hmm.
and I think that that's what we are seeing. Has any of you ever been a victim of violence? Have you ever been in a violent situation?
Yes.
Can you share as much as you feel like it?
Well, when we were younger, my sister and I really did not get along, and on occasion it got physical when we were fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So there'd be occasions where we, like, were hitting each other, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, I had this one clear memory of when I was little, I was annoyed at my sister for some reason, and I wanted to get her in trouble, so I smacked my arm, said, ow, and said, Granddad, Shelby hit me, and got sent to her room.
I don't think I've been, like, involved with violence, like fights or anything like mm-hmm. that. I mean, like maybe I've fought with my sister kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sibling rivalry, which is kind of normal. I mean, maybe I hope I've never hit anybody.
I mean, I saw my sister get into a couple fights when we were back in middle school because she got messed with a lot. Mm-hmm. And so she got into fights, and I saw that happen. And I went to a school here in the area for eighth grade that was known for fights. So that was not fun to witness on a daily basis.
Okay. All right. But any other acts of violence that you've been...
I can relate to Connor and Reed. I mean, I have a brother who's a year older than me, mm-hmm. and we love watching like Marvel and like all the superhero shows, so we would like go at each other. We would play fight till someone really got hit, and then it would be like all out, like
I remember
WWE.
That was exactly my situation with my brother. It would be play fighting until one of us would go too far, but then we wouldn't back down when the other would say, hey, you know, stop. That actually hurt. Most of the time it was my brother that wouldn't stop. But
Do any of you live in areas where you feel like your milieu is the community has a lot of violence in it?
I know in my area, like, we do a lot of times, like, there'll be police searches going on, or, like, you know, there'll be helicopters looking for murderers. Like, last Halloween, there was a cop in my neighborhood stopping cars, like, hey, we're on the lookout for this dude. He's wanted for a murder. You know, if you see, he literally said, if you see anybody diddy bopping around in your yard, he literally said, diddy bopping around in your yard, call the police.
And that was terrifying because, like, I was going to stay at her house for a Halloween marathon that night, and then her mom turns to me and is like, ha, 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 murderer in our neighborhood on Halloween. How do you like that, Connor?
Okay.
But that's not, like, the first time that happened, you know.
What about firearms? Do any of you have firearms?
Nope. I, not personally, I know my parents both have some.
Okay.
I think my mom has
My mom has a shotgun.
Okay. So you have firearms in your in your home. You have never used them? You haven't been exposed to them? You don't know anything about it?
I mean, I've shot a BB gun before, but that's about it. My mom just has a shotgun because she lives out in Coon Bottom, so everyone has a gun out there.
My family's, like, strictly no guns. Like, it took a while for my mom to even get us water guns and Nerf guns. Like, my younger siblings are just now getting Nerf guns and water guns, and I'm like, hey, how come I didn't get any of this when I was a kid, Mom?
Oh, my cousins have, like, an entire arsenal of Nerf guns. Like, I've done Nerf wars with them. It's so much fun.
I've shot, like, I have gone to a shooting range before and shot real guns. I have shot BB guns. And my grandparents up in Virginia, you know, that's just a thing. They have BB guns all around. They'll let us sit cans on the fence. Not the electric one, like my brother tried one time.
Okay.
And they'll let us try to shoot cans, practice our... you know, shooting skills and all.
But that's not. I mean, that's just practicing shooting. Yeah. Is that considered violent?
No. No? I mean,
it was violent on the can I was shooting.
I mean,
I have some good aim.
We have seen in the past year, you know, people.
Lots of gun violence.
Right.
Yeah.
BB guns being mistaken for guns.
We're going to get to that. Yes, Connor.
I remember reading this article where it was like this little boy is being charged for like first degree murder because he was messing with this girl in his neighborhood, and one day she asked the girl if he could like play with her dog or something, and the girl told him no. So he went inside and got one of his father's guns because his father was not the smartest and kept his gun cabinet unlocked.
Obviously.
And he went and shot he shot and killed that little girl, and just.
But, you know, there's so many variables. How old was he?
He was so little.
That has part of the desensitization. Like, most kids don't realize, hey, you know, this is actually, they see it on TV all the time. Mm-hmm. They see it in video games. So I don't, like, they're disconnected.
That's a good point. I mean, do you feel, I mean, we are desensitized towards violence and death. And I think you raised 2 points, because what impact does television have? Because somebody can be killed 1 minute, and then after the commercial, you come back and, oh, they're doing fine.
Yeah.
Some of my earliest memories are playing gory fighting games with my older brother when he babysat me and my sister.
Uh-huh.
So I've been, like, exposed to super violent video games for as long as I can remember. But at the same time, I don't consider myself... I'm desensitized to, like, animated gore, but when it comes to real gore, like Saw movies or bad news footage or that sort of thing, I get really grossed out, and it's like, that's terrible. This shouldn't happen.
So you can make a distinction between the very realistic type.
And I think that's
the
reason.
What about you, Mike? I haven't heard anything from you. You're just sitting there chilling.
I'm just waiting for my moment.
Okay, you got it.
So what was the question?
Well, we're talking about desensitization. We were talking about desensitization and television and what role those play.
I mean, me, I'm always, you know, watching, like, my TV shows, like Sons of Anarchy and Breaking Bad, all the way. And I just never get the feeling, man, I wonder if I can do that one day.
Okay.
Well, I think one thing that happens with, like, kids that are really young that we were talking about a second ago is that they haven't been taught yet that there's... like, you should not be shooting guns at anybody. Like, when you see it on a TV or a video game when you're really young and you haven't been taught that shooting people is wrong yet, I feel like that's where you can start to go wrong.
I think, that is the reason that video games and movies and TV shows, they have mature ratings. That's why you can only buy them and, like, go to the movies for, like, you know, R-rated things at a certain age. Like, There's a reason for the ratings on it, but
you can
parents,
still see some violent things and things that are not.
Most parents, like these really violent video games and all, I know that they have a mature rating. So a kid, like 11-year-old, can't go and buy it. Like, they have to get the parent to buy it for them, you know?
Or their older brother or sister.
Yeah,
or
so that's the
thing. And
that's
what happens. Yeah, indeed. Well, you all hold your thoughts. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. This hour, I have students from Sale High School, and we are looking at violence in America. We're going to take a break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield, and I have students again at the round table, all from Sale High School. Again, I welcome Sydney Bonham Reed, Michael Hayes, Savannah Burris, Ayanna Brantley, Reed Worrell, and Connor Mack. We are talking about violence. It's easy to forget how many mass shootings have occurred in America. There have been at least 52 in the last 30 years, and most of the killers got their guns legally. More than half of the cases involve school or workplaces. Do you feel that the NRA has any blame in these mass shootings?
Well,
okay, for one, what's the NRA?
National Rifle Association.
Yeah.
Oh.
Exactly what I was going to ask.
They're the ones lobbying against gun control, so I say they have a role in it.
Well, let me just take one, and we'll move around. Okay, we'll get to everyone, okay? Connor, go right ahead.
Well, they're one of the big people lobbying for, like, gun control, and so they definitely have a part in it, though I wouldn't say it's all their fault.
Mm-hmm.
I say a lot of it does have to do with how people become desensitized, and I say a lot of it also is just that I don't think gun screening is as thorough as it could and should be. Like, a lot of people who have, or even just in cases like the Sandy Hook shooter, the guns that he used weren't his. They were his mother's, and they weren't locked up properly. And that's how he got his guns. And so a lot of it is just not monitoring your guns properly, not getting screened properly when you're buying a gun, and of course, there's just not enough gun control, in my opinion.
Okay. Ayana, you had something you want to say?
I basically just agree with Connor. I mean, I don't think they have everything to do with it. Mm-hmm. I just think they're a little bit desensitized to it, and I don't, like, they just see guns like, you know, you're not taking away my gun,
right.
And they don't ever, like, think really about, well, it's also gonna, taking gun control could also help so many more other situations.
Okay, that's another, and I'll get to you, let me get Michael.
Now, I think there has to be a balance. Like, it's kind of like with the story with the yin and the yang, like, the good and the bad. Like, if, say, you take all the bad out of a person, or just that drive, mm-hmm. then they just won't drive to push on, that aggression that pushes a person to live on. And if you take out all the good, then it's just complete nuttiness.
Okay. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I actually agree with all the comments, but the thing is that I do agree with Connor. We do need to have, like, mental health screenings, but also do agree with Ayana. Like, if you already have a gun, I think you should be able to keep it because we do have the right to keep and bear arms and actually do stand with that, and actually really agree with Michael, because there just needs to be a balance between mm-hmm. the two. Like, I don't think we should have so much gun control, but I also don't think we shouldn't have gun control.
Okay.
I think there just needs to be there's a fine line, and it can't be crossed, or else everyone's just going to get mad at everyone.
Reed, where do you sit on this?
I was going to say really quickly, because you mentioned mental illness, and I wanted to weigh in quickly on that. Not that I have much experience with that.
I didn't mean to offend anyone.
No. I was saying it, like, offensively. But I, like, a lot of things that I think that happens a lot in, like, the media is they source people a lot for having mentally ill. They were, I don't know what happens, but they say they had some kind of mental illness going on. Which I yes, that happens sometimes, but I don't think it's, like, the main source. Like,
yeah.
Mental,
yeah.
Most likely,
you know what I mean, right?
most likely, mentally ill people hurt themselves more than they hurt other people.
Yeah,
it's a myth. You always think when you say mental ill that you're talking about someone who's going to be violent and aggressive towards.
Most of them.
What about the mental illness that maybe you did have a problem with depression?
Yeah.
Okay, but. Your depression, you haven't had that problem in 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
So what does that say?
Yeah, that's another problem, too,
that's
is people have depression, and then it can go away,
right.
And then it can show back up whenever.
Right.
I think it depends on, in the media, it depends on the color of the shooter and how they're going to be portrayed. If they're white, they're most likely going to be portrayed as mentally ill.
Yeah.
If they're of color, they're going to be portrayed as a thug or a terrorist, or they're going to be portrayed as something like that. And as Reed was saying, most of the time, mentally ill people are either going to hurt themselves or be hurt by others. That's what's most likely to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think... Yeah, I'm not really good at wording things sometimes, but yeah, I meant, like, mental state, yeah.
I was more meaning their history.
You can't really,
if they have a history of violence,
that.
They probably shouldn't get a gun.
Yeah, if you have a history of violence, you should have gotten a gun.
I also
committed federal crimes, you know, against people and stuff.
Or crimes
that's
general,
another
that
program.
Involves,
we'll have to do that, because that opens up
a
whole can of worms. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying that you all raise some good issues when we talk about gun control and gun laws, but that raises a lot of other issues, a lot of other worms in that can, and so I think we'll come back and do a program on it. Ayana, you had something?
Yeah, I mean, the stuff you guys are saying, like, are valid, but there is no real way to mm-hmm. test a lot of the stuff you're saying. I think one thing is we just have to cut back on guns, letting as many people have them. Like, in Australia, aren't there, like, no guns?
I thought it was in
like
Britain.
At all?
Right.
Or Britain, somewhere.
Like, instead of
no guns,
guns
at all. And their crime rates are, like, way down. And, I mean, a lot of the stuff is, like, really hard to test it. It's
mm-hmm.
just...
Yeah, well, I mean, I think Because we can't get rid of guns completely. No, people have it's a right to have guns. But something needs to happen, because the amount of mass shootings that have gone on at schools and other public places is
insane.
Wrong.
But on the same hand, you mentioned, you know, Britain, like they have like no guns. Well, Switzerland, everyone has a gun, and there's no like there's zero crime there. I think the last murder was like over like 30 years ago or something like that. So it's like two sides. Well, if you have less guns, there's less crimes. But if you have more guns, there's less crimes, you know.
I feel like
But each of those countries has a different mentality when it comes to it. They have a different approach.
Mm-hmm. That you hear.
But in America, neither works. You know, if you take the guns away from people, the people are going to be upset about not having guns. But if you make it easier to access guns, then...
I feel like...
Well, let me ask you. What influence do you think bullying has on the increased violence in our world?
Yeah, it's a big influence.
Go ahead.
I don't really think it depends on the bullies, because, bullying is one issue, but if you decide because of that bullying you're going to shoot out the whole school, you're making it a whole different dynamic issue, and that's when I think that's why I think that the kids need to talk to the parents, because if they had just talked to the parents, then that whole situation would have never happened. But some kids decide, hey, I'm going to steal my parents' gun from a gun cabinet, which parents should keep under lock and key.
But that doesn't always matter either.
Yeah.
You know, depending
but
upon
the
child. That
the bullying is one issue, mm-hmm. but taking that bullying and using that as an excuse to shoot up the whole school, makes it a whole big issue that involves everyone. Then there's a whole big investigation, and then and then all this mess needs to be cleared up, and that kid ends up going to prison, or he probably kills himself.
Right.
Which that has happened.
Which is what happens. Ayana.
Well, I think it's kind of a far stretch to directly put bullying and gun control like together, but I do think that it does have a lot to do. I don't think that anything should be done with where you put the guns. I just think kids need to be taught how to deal with their emotions the right way. Like, we never teach kids that kind of, like, the kind of stuff about depression. So then when they get older, it hits them so hard and they don't know what to do. And kids are committing suicide, self-harming, turn to drugs and stuff like that. Nobody tells kids about depression.
Coping skills.
Yeah.
What do you have to say?
Well, me, you know, all through my elementary, you know, it was always so hard to get friends, and always everybody was just putting me down, and it just never really bugged me till middle school. I was like, oh my goodness, what am I gonna do?
Mm-hmm.
So
he was third grade.
I decided, well, I can do something. What if I take all those emotions and then store them and then disperse them somewhere else? So I started thinking, hey, how about, you know, doing some comedy and, you know, just getting that all out.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
what
a good outlet.
About teaching kids how to do other stuff with their emotions.
I just wanted to weigh in on the bullying. I think it can have some sort of an effect. Like Ayana talked about, we don't teach kids how to deal with emotions. And also, like, for one thing, I know Sydney said, like, kids should go talk to parents, but a lot of kids don't want to talk to parents or authority figures about
someone. That's what I was saying.
About
talk to someone.
Being bullied. One fear is that when you go tell anybody that you're being bullied, is that the bullying can get worse once you've told somebody. And it can be really hard to open up about that. And like, it can be the bully or the person being bullied is they. Well, the bully likes the power, and so they want to get a gun and have more power over people with that, because they think that commands power. And then the person being bullied has all of this stuff going on inside and they don't know how to handle it and they want to get some power. I don't know.
Okay.
I think...
I think a huge part of it with the whole bullying and gun stuff, I think a huge part of it is education. Because, like, I may have watched my brother play bloody video games all the time, but I was also new. It's not okay to actually do someone in real life. You could kill them, you could hurt them, it could be terrible. And when it comes to bullying, I feel like it might have a part in certain cases, because bullying can cause like some severe psychological effects on a person. I was bullied on the bus a lot back in elementary school after my sister moved on to middle school. And after that, when middle school came around, I was terrified to talk to people because I didn't want to speak. I was scared that I'd be called out, that I'd get made fun of. And I didn't get out of that until I went to high school and I started going to Sale. And when it comes to, like, even if you go to your parents, like, I went to my parents when I was getting messed with, but this was a bus issue. And as a lot of people know, when bus drivers are the ones that have to stop the bullying, they commonly, at least in my case, didn't do anything about it. She just moved me up to the front, and that just got me fun more for being moved on the bus.
And okay. You raised some very interesting issues.
And it's like education on how to handle your feelings, education on different sites of mental states, education on how to handle guns. Because I don't think guns are inherently bad. I think you should be taught how to use them. I think people should be taught proper storage of a gun and that sort of thing.
Preach.
Thank you.
Savannah.
I think that what happens, like, I think the reason why that we have seen a lot of rise in, like, these mass shootings is because people see what other people have done and been like, you know what, these people treated me so horribly, I'm gonna do that. Like, I think it's sort of like a revenge mentality, like, I've been treated horribly, these other people have done it, and, you know, they've gotten off with, like, you know, a trip to the they've gotten off with, you know, their sentences and mental health centers and all that. So I think that might have something to do with it. Like
Sydney, I know you want to share something.
I just wanted to go off a little bit about what Michael said. I have experienced bullying. It was in third grade. Yep, not really the best time of my life. But what I did about it was that I made sure to tell the teachers. Because I'm not going to say any names, but I'm going to say a gender. It was a guy and his posse, quote unquote. And yeah, I was the snitch who told someone because I did not like it. And I thought the school had zero tolerance for bullying. And actually, there are some states that have laws where it is a felony to bully, which is why I say, if you're in one of those states who has those laws where it's a felony to bully and you got proof of it, tell someone, because then you can get the situation covered, and that way, even though, and then I think you should at least talk to someone too, because, like, the guidance counselor, because then the guidance counselor can help you with the mental wounds that you have. And I was the snitch that told someone, and it got, well, for some reason, the bullying did not stop, obviously, because he was not the nicest of people.
Well, and it also could be the way that it was handled.
I just switched schools.
It could be the way that it's handled. Let me just kind of move away from bullying.
Yeah, we're kind of in there.
And get back into violence. And as we talk about these mass shootings that have occurred, and they really only represent a sliver of America's gun violence.
Hear about the big ones. There are other ones that go on and we don't.
That's right.
Yeah, we don't hear about
why, the crime. My question to you is, why do we see more males represented in these mass shootings and these violent outbursts than female?
Easier to believe, I think.
Well, let's start with Michael, and we'll go on.
I've heard of the thing, like, I think it happens a lot more with males. Like, there's this thing called the aggressive gene. And, like, you have it in your chemistry, in your body, and like small little things can just, like, trigger it, and it can just, like, it'll just be harder for them to just control their anger.
Other comments?
I haven't. I mean, I guess I don't know much about it because I haven't really heard about women with guns in general. But I think it's just thinking of a man being mean and aggressive is just put into my head that that's a normal thing for a guy to do. So it's just easier to believe or be like, oh, yeah.
Well, and there is some truth to it because when you look at, and I'll get to you, Rhea, I haven't forgotten you, but when one looks at, you know, the difference in gender between when one is acting out, whether it's male or female, you see that males will tend to be more aggressive than females will. And it could be for a number of reasons, whether it's the testosterone, whether, you know, it's that you don't have that X, that Y, that chromosome. There are a number of things that play into it. So, I don't know.
I think a big thing that has to do with it is, you know, like manliness and stuff. And, you know, like owning a gun is manly. And if somebody insults you, you have to go the manly way and you have to fight about it, not like talk it out. Mm-hmm. I think like that's a big thing. And like especially like that's I know something like pushed towards male. I mean, is that you have to be manly. Mm-hmm. Do manly.
So you're saying culture and environment really has fueled into that. Did you have something, Con?
I feel like part of it is a double standard in the media, because when you hear about a guy shooting a lady, you think the guy, you automatically think the guy is terrible and he should like go to prison. But when you hear about a lady shooting a guy, you automatically think the guy probably did something to deserve getting shot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's a double standard there, because I'm sure there's been female shooters, but we don't hear about them. At least we don't hear about them necessarily in a negative light. Well, male shooters, we always hear about them. And plus, part of it is just biological. Women tend to be able... Women, in general, tend to not bottle their emotions as much as men are because of the whole men have to be manly and stoic thing. And there's also testosterone, and aggression is a huge part of it. And yeah.
Well, let me ask you all to hold your thoughts. We have to take a brief break. After we take the break, I'll get right back to you. The killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, was no anomaly. There is a disproportionately high number of African Americans among police shooting victims. African Americans live in a culture where they are met overwhelmingly with lethal use of force for minor crimes. Black people also are disproportionately represented among those targeted as criminal shooting suspects, firearm arrestees, and those fired upon are struck by police gunfire. I'm sure you're all aware of what has been in the media, in the forefront, this last year. What's going on? Well, how do you interpret what's happening? And I guess you're sitting in the hot seat, Reed. You're sitting right across from me.
Okay.
So I'll start
here
with
we
you,
go.
And I'll get to everyone. Okay.
You definitely see a lot more African Americans, people of color being accused of gun violence, and you also see a lot of police brutality of police officers going after people when they don't even have a gun. Like, this is something that they've ingrained into their mind. If you're not white, it's not right, and you've automatically got a gun, you're out to get somebody. And there's all sorts of things.
Even if it's a toy gun.
If you're that one kid who made a clock.
Oh, yeah.
And he was accused.
Clock kid. Right.
Oh, and I saw this. Okay, so he was accused of having a bomb.
Right.
And I saw somebody point out that when they thought he had a bomb, they like handcuffed him and just took him out of the middle of class. When instead of like, if you hear a bomb, it's going to go off at school, they evacuate everybody out of the school.
Right. Right.
And get everybody out. So did they really think he had a bomb if they were going to leave everybody there?
And he
or?
Was of color.
Yeah, mm-hmm. He was Indian, I believe. Or I don't...
He was a Muslim.
Muslim.
Religion.
His name was
Muhammad.
Yeah.
He could not... He couldn't ask for anything else but being of color.
Okay? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They see an Islamic person, they automatically think terrorist has a bomb.
Yeah, and all the teachers are like, oh,
looks like a bomb. Like, let's call the police.
Yeah, and I know the principal said, oh, yeah, I knew it'd be him.
Yeah.
Like, and then Obama invites him to the White House.
I was literally like, throwing shade, principal. Jeez.
That entire thing was racial stereotyping and profiling.
It was terrible. I felt filled so bad with it.
Yeah, I know. Just to imagine, like, the emotional trauma of being put in handcuffs in front of people you go to school with, and then having to go back there.
Yeah.
Oh, no, he switched
schools. He switched schools.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they invited him back, and he was like, no, thank you. I am not going. Uh-huh. But I don't think that it's just, like, I think anybody that, like, police-wise, I think anybody that they think that they can get away with, like, mistreating, they do. Like, you know, anybody uneducated about their rights, I think that they do. Especially, my mom has told me many stories about, like, you know, places that she's lived and all. Mm-hmm. And one of the stories she has told me before is she was living in this house with these people. It was, you know, like a roommate agreement. And this was not long after she had me. And they, like, SWAT team, like, all decked out, like, military gear, like big guns and stuff like that, come, like, busting in the house looking for someone who wasn't even there. And, you know, my mom immediately turned to the other people in the room, said, all you have to tell them is your name, your social security number, basically everything that's on your driver's license, and you don't have to say anything else. And, you know, they had, like, everyone, like, cuffed to the ground with, like, and it was only women and children in there, and, like, babies are just crying and, you know, like, completely unnecessary, and they were just trying to, like, serve, or they were, like, they were looking for somebody, you know,
obviously.
Trying to, but, like, the person wasn't even there, and, you know, it's...
So it just sounds like you're saying they were using undue force.
Yeah, like, that's the thing, is they're just unnecessary
force. I'm going to go all around the table, because I know everyone had something they wanted to say. You had something, Michael.
No, I just forgot it.
Oh, well, we'll come right back to you.
I think the reason why it's mainly African, seen as mainly African-American issue, is because people, humans in general, have developed a lack of empathy. Like, we just see each other, like, as the other person. Like, oh, they're different. They're black. They're Hispanic. Like, we don't see as, like, just people that are different. And it's easy to look at someone and just be like, oh, yeah, they're bad. That's what they are, instead of just, you know, assuming, like, I mean, I guess there has been a lot of crime in areas with a lot of African Americans, but, I mean, history, and it could go on and on and on about why it's there, but it's just, like, a lack of empathy. Like, people just, police officers abusing their power in general.
Okay. All right. Connor?
I mean, I'm white, but I've been raised by my parents to not trust the cops. Like, they always tell me, come to us before you go to the cops. And my mom tells me, if a police officer ever talks to you, you have the Fifth Amendment, plead the Fifth. Mm-hmm. All you have to tell them is your name and that sort of thing.
Your name and social security number.
Yeah, that. But, and when it comes to, like, police brutality, I'm of the opinion, if you are someone who, in circumstances, could legally get away with stealing another person's life or their property, you have to be monitored. It's just, and it's like, they complain about wearing body cams because they feel like their privacy is being invaded. Have you ever worked in retail?
Mm-hmm. Any other job, pretty much.
Retail worker in America is monitored 24/7 by
cameras.
Well,
technically teachers, too.
Teachers, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got ahead of me, but I was going to ask, how do you feel about the body cam?
I think that they should have them. You know, if you're in this situation where somebody is accusing you of, you know, some, like, doing something wrong, wouldn't you want that body camera to be able to prove that you didn't do anything wrong?
I mean, it doesn't really help your case if you're, like, so adamantly against the thing that could prove your potential innocence.
Let me get to Sydney, and we'll come back.
Okay, I just want to disclose something before I even say anything. My dad's a state trooper, so I haven't heard all this, and I'm just like, what? My dad? What? Dad? Love you. I love you, Dad. But yeah, basically the thing is that, okay, there are two different types of cops. There are those arrogant ones, and then there's the nice ones like my dad. My dad actually does what he's trained. Some police officers are actually trained if they...
Some of them, the problem is they aren't trained.
Yeah. Well, actually, about that, they are legally supposed to be trained, and they make sure everyone in the police thing gets trained. They have to go to mandatory training every month.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that the training is not sufficient.
Well, it's gun training, not hand-to-hand.
But go on and finish.
And actually, and basically, yeah, there are those cops that are not as good as others, but... the thing is that they are trained to do some of these things. Like, my dad has had to be tased by a taser.
Was not see what it's like.
He even said it was not the most pleasant experience ever. It's not. And every time they hire someone new, they're just like, oh, there they go.
Okay. Let me know.
Now I just remembered it. Okay. It's the kid who made the clock. The clock. Mm-hmm. I believe I read this like a few days ago that he was actually invited to the White House.
He was. Mm-hmm.
Yes, he was. It was like Obama's head tweet saying, "Cool clock, Muhammad. You want to come show it to me?"
I just wanted to weigh in, and I know we were talking about
security gonna be erased.
I wanted to talk about. The cops, and like I hope we didn't sound too much like all cops are bad. Like there are good cops, yeah, and there are bad cops, but you can't blame some people. Like, it depends on where you've grown up, and if you're a person of color, if you're African American or anything else that is not white, there's a societal thing where you might be afraid of the police because of what's been going on and the media and stuff like that. And to weigh in quickly on the body cams, I think that they're generally – they can be a good idea because they can definitely – they could stop things like police brutality and stuff. But there's also like little instances like what if they pull you over for speeding or you missed a stop sign or something, and they might let you go because you're like, oh, I didn't see it or something. But what about – I don't know. That was just kind of a stupid point. But
okay. Actually, about the – okay, like I said, there's the good cops and bad cops. Most cops do not discriminate, honestly.
I have to throw this in there. Because this police behavior that we've been seeing, you know, with the African-American – males and some females. It crosses all social economic groups. It's been mm-hmm. professionals, it's been students, it's been athletes. Not long ago, that professional tennis player was thrown to the ground in New York because somebody, mm-hmm. you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Savannah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Mistaken identity.
Mistaken, and just somebody said that to him. The police just acted on what the person mm-hmm. said. But the interesting thing that even no matter what your plight in life may be, is that the common denominator was they all had color to their skin.
Well,
so now you can't deny that. I mean,
you cannot deny that.
I know. You can't deny that.
I know. But I think it's mostly the media.
The media is not changing that, though.
No, I know.
I'm not trying to get on you, Sydney, but come on now.
I know.
We got to call it like it is. It is.
I think
part of it is societal stereotype racism. I mean, okay. Even I'm guilty of it. Like, if I
we
were in a dark
are.
Alley at night,
we
I would feel more
are.
Comfortable with a white guy with me than with a black guy with me.
I wouldn't feel comfortable with any guy.
I mean,
right.
Well, yeah, but it's just like, if I'm in a dark parking lot and there's, like, some creepy guy over there, I'd feel less creeped out if he were white because that's just
your environment that you've been reinforced in.
Honestly,
I feel bad about it, but it's just how it is.
I would feel more comfortable with a black guy because statistically, I'm more likely to be raped by a white guy than a black guy. So
you had a comment.
I just want to say maybe we just need more diversity in our cops.
Yeah.
There is a lot of diversity.
Well, it depends
on.
Maybe around here, but not in
Tallahassee
other places.
Tallahassee is a very diverse place, so maybe around here. But I think, honestly...
I mean, I think the body cams are great.
A lot of times, I think, an excuse for, like, you know, the police use for shooting people is that, oh, I felt threatened. They were coming towards me.
Stand on your ground.
The stand your ground law. Yeah.
There should be better physical training. If you have nurses that can take people down in, like, mental wards and all, that can take people down and not leave bruises that last longer than 3 hours... Why can't we have cops be able to do this? To be able to restrain people? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like my mom had, I think my mom was trained in that when she was in nursing school, being able to like do that. Like she can change someone's sheets with them still in the bed and she can restrain them as well.
So can I.
Yeah, I think the body cams are a great idea and they don't invade people's privacy, like, at all. I mean, at any other job, you have to wear a camera. It's going to be going out. It's not, like, going to be, like, sitting on your face. So if you pick a booger, they're going to see you.
No, that would be hilarious.
But, you know, having these videos is what has brought all this to light. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, it's positive.
And
individuals...
And even... Oh, sorry.
And I was just going to say, individuals that live within these communities recognize that these type of atrocities have been occurring all the time. Black men, black women, whatever... Brown have been shot unjustifiably, but it has not hit the news. Yeah. Now, because people have cameras, now we're aware of it.
Yeah.
Because we have proof of that.
And there are so many we don't even know about. Like, for every Michael Brown or Tamir Rice or every other person, there's 10 more for that person.
Exactly.
And even sometimes with the video, you can't convict.
Right.
Even in a court of law when you have a video.
Yeah. Like Eric Garner.
I agree with what Connor said a lot about how it's kind of like a societal thing. And, I mean, honestly, when you think about it, I don't think it's, like, in the next few years, unless we get the cameras on everyone, like, we need to do things like put cameras on police officers, and over time, it'll go away. Just, like, 50 years ago, no one would be talking about this. Like, no one would care. Mm-hmm. And... I just think, like, talking about it like we are now and addressing it as an issue, it'll, over time, just get better. The problem will solve itself.
Also, I know a lot of, there are body cams, and that's great, but there are cases where the body cams are not evidence because the cops can turn them off.
Right.
Oh, you should not be able to turn off your body cam.
The only time it should be able to turn off is when you're turning it in for the day. Like, okay, my shift's done. Let's plug it back. That should be the only time that you can turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, there isn't really a way to turn them off. But this is just for the dash cam. I know
the dash cam.
But we're not talking about the
body cam. Because that's a little different.
You can park your car the opposite way and have it facing.
Right. But you hear that on the news that it can turn off.
Body cams... should not be able to be turned off by the officer. That's
in these last 3 minutes, I mean, this has been a lively discussion, and I'm looking here going, oh, we only have a few more minutes. And one of you just kind of raised this issue. For whatever reason, juries and prosecutors are less likely to indict or convict. Why do you think this is happening?
I know.
I mean, like the Michael Brown thing. I mean, come on.
Well,
you know.
Okay, so I know that, like, for grand juries, you know, if they're deciding that they can arrest them for this, my grandma was on a grand jury like last summer. It's not like a regular jury where it's like you can't have heard of this case, you can't have heard anything about it. You have people who, first of all, have already formed their biases and opinions about it. And
but certain situations, and I'm not trying to, the guy, Earl Garner? For the Earl Garner, he's the musician, sorry. Anyhow, he was selling... cigarettes. I mean, he wasn't breaking in anybody's house or anything.
Yeah.
He kept saying, I can't breathe. Now, what? else could...
And what the cop did was illegal, because chokeholds have been illegal for cops to use in
did
New
they
York
indict and... anyone?
No.
But part of that is biased internal investigations.
Okay. And that's what we're...
I mean, internal investigations have their purposes, but it seems like a lot of these cases where they say there's a quote-unquote internal investigation underway, nothing happens because they don't want to call out their own man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even looking at this from the outside, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Like, I think they should just be charged as a regular crime and investigated as a regular crime.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just because you're a cop doesn't mean that you're still not a person. If you commit a crime, you should, be punished for that.
No one's above the law.
Yeah.
Okay, I think you said that real clearly. As we close, and you may not even be able to respond to this, but at least you can think about it. When we look at guns, is it a political situation? Is it a political issue? Democrats blame the guns. Republicans blame gun control. Who is to blame? And I don't expect you to be able to answer that. We'll have to do this on another program because we are out of time. I want to say thank you for all participating. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Team. This edition of 411 Team was produced by Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Team or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Team podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.